Okay, folks, here we go. We're in Matthew chapter 24. Christmas party 18. 18. It'll be in this room, and we will be on Zoom.
And Lauren is in charge of the game show.
Okay, good. All right.
Y'all get ready to feel like a kid again.
And we will be tapping into the butt.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Oh, the butt.
The boss of the butt. Oh. She better not.
Susan still has it?
Yeah. That, and that's just the grace of God that she still she still has it.
I'm gonna tell you, it's as good as ours was.
Yeah, because I love Boston butt. Okay, I digress. Matthew chapter 24.
I have the butt. I'm reading the butt.
All right. Yes.
I'll make
thank you.
Barbecue sauce.
Ooh, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Okay, we got to get going. Here we go. As we get ready to go into this. The next several parables are all about end time prophecy. And that's all we've been talking about lately anyway, is end time prophecy. And so the rest of the parables in Matthew seem to keep pointing to that, especially the rapture. And again, I know we said this before, but I think even though we're still waiting, and the people from in the Bible are still waiting for the coming of Christ, I like what Davey said, and I'm just going to include it in my notes. Regardless of when Christ comes, and I think it's coming soon, your end time is coming whether the end time comes today or not, so be ready. We have no excuse to not be ready. Throughout history, God just keeps rehearsing these times, these steps, these instances or whatever, where it looks like the Antichrist, who is already here in some way, shape, or form, there's always that persecution, and judgment always comes behind that. And so we just need to continue to rehearse and practice. All right. All that said, verse 42. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord is going to come. Now, when he comes in judgment, that's good for us as believers. When he comes and you're not a believer, time's up.
Watch ye therefore, you know not the day when the Lord will call your soul away.
I don't know that song, but it had a nice little ring to it. All right. All right. So, I've always had this question. I just wanted to kind of lay it out because for years I was in church and they said, watch, 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 watch. What am I watching for? I'm watching for Jesus, but then I'll be like the ones in Acts, verse 1, where they're all looking up in the sky as Jesus has gone away, and the angels like, what are you guys doing standing here just looking? So, we're looking for Jesus. That's what I always thought it was, and it still is. But after looking at Matthew 24, I put down about 7 bullets of things that I think we're supposed to be watching for that I've gotten from the lessons on this particular parable. So what are we watching for? Yes, exactly what Sandra says. We're watching for Christ the bridegroom to come back for us, the church, the rapture, if you believe in that, and I firmly do. But here's some other things that we need to be watching for. One, that we not be deceived. That is the huge thing that I see happening in the world today, and that I see in Matthew 24. When we did Matthew 24 and Daniel 7, deception, that is almost like the platform in which the enemy is going to use to deceive us. Do not be deceived. I have to watch for that. I can't believe everything that I Google. I sure can't believe everything I see on social media. Be not deceived. The word says, if it was so possible, even the very elect could be deceived. Be not deceived. The next thing, watch that we are not troubled by the things that are happening, the things to come. When we see all the crazy things that are happening, it'll cause you to freak out, and we need to watch to make sure that we don't lose our positioning or stand on faith. Don't freak out. There's a whole lot of things to freak out about.
Freak out.
Oh, yeah, Sandra, that's right. Freak out, yeah. Well, you guys got all the songs today, I'll tell you. All right.
There's always a song.
Yep. I should move on, but I got to stop and pause for just a minute. That sigh almost seemed like the reminiscence of the days of disco. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Okay. That, now all of a sudden, the song Disco Duck just popped in my head.
Yes.
All right, here we go. My goodness. Stay safe, people, stay safe. All right. Maybe we need to be watching for that too. All right. Watch that our love for others not wax cold and that we endure persecution. Matthew 24 said the love of many will wax cold. Instead of waxing cold, our love should be heating up.
Because this clothes moves when it's warm.
Oh, there you go. Let's just stay on fire.
Wax cold.
Yeah.
Stiff.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Good point.
They put it on surfboards. It's sticky when it's cold.
Oh, good point. Watch that we help spread the gospel. Everybody understand what that means? We have to watch that we spread the gospel. I was at a Bible study yesterday, Messianic Bible study, and the teacher mentioned Ezekiel 33. So I went to Ezekiel 33 to see what it said. I saw it before, but when I went there, it said, set a watchman on the tower. And when the sword comes, they're supposed to blow the trumpet to warn the people. And if the people hear the trumpet and don't repent or don't prepare for the sword and they die, their blood is on their own hands. But if the watchman on the tower does not sound the trumpet when the sword comes and the people die, then their blood is on his hands. So,
well, I mean, you're blowing a trumpet now, right?
Well, that's, you know, the first thing I started saying was, well, man, and the conversation came, we should live our life so that people will see the light of God and how we live, the decisions we make and how we flow and how we interact, whether we're in their face telling them about the gospel or not. That is one way to sound the trumpet. But also in our relationships with our family members, those types of things. And I just looked at, I said, am I doing enough of it? This is a great opportunity. So I share this platform. If anybody wants to come and teach and sound the alarm, come on up and let's do that. But yes, I praise God that I have those opportunities to do that. And
well,
I think we all do.
Let your light so shine that other people would go to find your Father in heaven.
And we should be watching, Mac, that we let that light shine. However we let that light shine. It doesn't mean that you got to be a preacher or a teacher or whatever. You can be a good friend. You can be a good husband. You can be a good spouse. You can live a good Christian life. All right. Oh, this goes with the deception thing. We need to watch to make sure we don't go after false messiahs.
Idols.
Don't trust them too. Yep. There sure ain't no politician that I trust. I'll tell you that right now. I do like Mike Pence, though. But anyway. And we need to watch that we're prepared for Christ's return. And how do we do that? As we wait, I said that it's important that we practice steps 1 through 4. I said, why don't you go on and practice steps 1 through 7? But you at least got to get the 4.
You at least
got to
be saved.
You at least got to be 4. Yeah. You might freak out in the middle, but you better at least have 1 through 4. You got to be saved. And I'm glad you mentioned that. That's my sermon. That's my sermon today at Cloverdale. It's John chapter 3. I'm sorry. Make a deal. How to be born again. What does it mean to be born again? Yeah. I mean, Nicodemus, I'll get on a different study.
That's one of the best of the Chosen series when
Jesus is talking to Nicodemus in the Thompson
okay.
movie.
Okay.
It's one of the best ones.
And Nicodemus is a ruler, and he's been doing this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he still doesn't get it. And I just kind of wonder, it's off the lesson, but... Well, let me just go here. So I'm looking at this, I'm preparing the sermon, and I went to some of my favorite commentaries, and they're trying to give an explanation as to why Nicodemus is not getting this whole born-again thing. And in my notes I got, well, because he's looking at it in the natural, not the spiritual. And there's some things you can't do in the natural, but it's certainly, the spiritual is supernatural. But then one of the commentaries said he might have missed it because he thought he already did it. Israel had already come through their baptismal thing, through the Exodus or whatever. And he probably just figured, hey, we've already done that. Why are you talking about we needed to do it again? And it hit me. Now I understand. See, some Christians, think about this. I know this is off the lesson a little bit, but maybe we need to watch for this as well. I think everybody in this room has been baptized and been born again.
Yeah.
So, just like Nicodemus is thinking, I've already done that. What are you talking about? And the idea came to my mind, I've been to Mount Rushmore. I know you've been to Mount Rushmore as well. I've experienced Mount Rushmore. I've seen Mount Rushmore. I've got pictures of my wife and I at Mount Rushmore. But I don't see Mount Rushmore right now. It was an instance. It was an experience. And being born again is an instance and an experience. But in that, he's saying, the kingdom of God, you experience the kingdom of God when you're born again. So I know I did it once, but here's the question. Is there a need for me, for you and I, to be born again every day?
Yes.
And that's where I think he missed it.
But in John 19:39, it said Nicodemus, who had first come to him, Jesus, by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. So he came after the death of Jesus to help take care of the body, so there had to be something happening in him.
Oh, probably after this conversation, this Bible study. Because John 3 is happening well before John 19. So, application for today. Man, I got to celebrate my spiritual birthday every day, which means I have to pick up my cross and I need to watch that up. I'm not saying I'm losing my salvation, but I want to be able to experience the kingdom every day. I got to be saved every day.
Chuck, isn't sanctification a process?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's a four-step process.
So it's every day you get born again because it's a process where you're learning, every day.
All right, so my point is, do we as Christians sometimes miss a day?
Oh, yeah.
Or miss a moment? And when we do that,
3 years.
Like when you're watching football.
All right, so I digress, but I threw that out there because I just thought that was so interesting. So, yeah, and maybe it's not so far out of there. Maybe I need to add that to the things to watch for. We need to watch that we stay saved every day.
Chuck, there's one thing that I don't hear, and I may be missing it, but when people talk about, you got a non-believer that someone will talk to you and say, born again, we've got to stress that it's your spirit.
Yes.
I mean, all we hear is born again, we understand it.
Right.
But we've got to remember to tell people we're talking about your spirit.
Yep.
Not
yep.
your physical being.
Yep. So that's what I'll be preaching today. But again, so I digress, but maybe we're on target. Need to watch for that as well. All right, next verse. Yeah, and we get to the parable. Verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, I've read this before, and I just kind of blow by because I really don't understand what the heck's going on here. But when I look at it in the natural, all right, he's beginning with another parable talking about being watched for and being prepared. So let's analyze this in the natural. And I've got my notes there. You can see my notes. As I look at this parable in the natural, he's saying, if I'm a good homeowner, and I want to protect my house, and somebody tells me the thief's going to come at 2:30 in the morning, all right, neighborhood, whatever that little application is, the next door neighbor or whatever, you know, somebody says, hey, the thief's going to be coming around 2 p.m.
I'm like, watch.
Well, that ain't what I was talking about, but anyway. But I figured you ain't said anything all day, so you might as well chime in with that one. Knew it was coming. All right, so it's called the Next Door app. That's what. Okay. So they tell you that 2 o'clock the thief's going to come. I don't know about you, but I think I can vouch for everybody here. At 2 o'clock, either the authorities will be there. I don't need any authorities. I'll be waiting.
I got Smith and Wesson.
I got Ruger, Luger, whatever the heck it is. And I got Louisville Slugger. I got it all. All right? And if at 2:30, all you're going to hear in the house is, you better be saved. Pop, 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 pop. That's it. Because I'm not going to allow my house to be broken into and torn up. So I get it from that natural perspective. So he says we need to also be ready because we don't know when the Son of Man comes because nobody's going to give us a warning when the thief's going to come. But if we did have a warning, I'd be ready. All right. Now, I got a note in here. What is the nature of a thief?
Evil.
Quick. Yeah. And if you've ever had anything broken into, praise the Lord, I haven't had it with my home or anything like that. But my car's been broken into. Do they leave anything nice and neat and arranged?
No.
So they make a mess.
It's also done in secret.
It's done in secret, but when it's revealed in the light, you got a mess.
A mess.
Yes. All right. So in my notes, I say, in the natural world, we would always want to prevent this mess from happening in our home. Now, I'm taking some liberties here. And some preachers and theologues would say, don't read too much into the parables. I get that. Don't miss the simplicity of the message in the parable. I understand that, too. But in order for me personally, understand what I'm watching for, what I need to, how I need to prepare, I really personally, myself, I kind of need to figure out what the elements in the parable mean. Not just for me. So I went and tried that exercise. I can't tell you that I got all the answers on this, but application for today. Now, I say we need to be good homeowners because we don't know exactly when Christ is going to return for the visit. We already said that. But let's look at the elements of the story at this point. And the question becomes, the elements, we got a good homeowner. I figure that's us in the story.
Because we are the temple of God.
Ah! Yes, Deb, that's what I was thinking. Yep, so a good homeowner. So, as a good homeowner, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, maybe that's us, or maybe that's us or our management of the home. The home, I'm thinking, Deb, is us. I mean, this is open for discussion. That could be off, but I'm trying to think, you know.
Believers.
Yeah. We know the thief is. Yeah, we know who that is. Got that down. The devil, the world, or anything influenced by that evil. And the Son of Man is obviously Christ. So as I look at this, I started asking myself, if that is in fact the representation in the parable, We need to protect our homes and this life from the devil who wants to come in and mess things up and break things in our lives. Don't be deceived and trust everybody who comes to the door.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, all right. We're talking spiritually here.
Yes. But
don't
but
a crack in the door or something.
So I like what Roger's saying. I like, man, this is, you know, I've read the whole Bible, but I have not read it like this. I've just read it just to do it and say, hey, I read the whole Bible. But now to read deeper and peel this down through get understanding. Get an understanding. We got to get an understanding of the Word. Nicodemus did not have an understanding of the Word. I got to get an understanding of the Word. I can't do church all my life and not have an understanding of the Word. Got to understand what all this means. And I think, Roger, you know, the parable is in the natural, but it gives us insight into the spiritual realm. So we really, okay, Nicodemus, I don't get it. Does a person have to go back through their mama again? No, you're looking at it through the natural. And Jesus is saying, flesh is flesh, and spirit is spirit. You're right, Nicodemus, it's impossible in the flesh, but in the spiritual realm, this is what it means. So what does it mean in the spiritual realm to be a good homeowner who watches for the thief, who we already said in the natural will mess up and put your home in disarray? If our home really is representative in this of us as that temple, that house, we got to be watching and make sure that, okay, yeah. So I'm looking at this. I haven't looked at my notes, so I'm looking at this. We need to protect our homes
Where the heart is.
Well, you protect our hearts, yeah. So we need to protect our homes. We need to protect this life that we're living from the devil, who wants to come in and mess things up and break things in our lives. This thief wants to mess up things in your home. Like, and then it hit me. What's in my home?
My people.
My peeps. My relationships. My finances. Thank you for praying for finances. Our focus, our peace, our foundation. And he wants to steal your joy and your hope and your peace. That's what we're watching for. I got to make sure that this doesn't get deceived. I got to make sure that this has a filter. Maybe I even need a screen door, the other door, to make sure that some things don't fly in. Thoughts?
I think it's important that we ask ourselves, why does the enemy want to do that to us?
Oh, that's a good question.
Does he want to do that to us to keep us from sharing the gospel with other people, to get us sidetracked, to get us thinking in our flesh and wanting things in our flesh and being wanting the things in the world more than we want the things of God?
Mm.
I mean, there's so many reasons why he would want to do that to us.
He wants to immobilize us.
And I think if we're not walking with the Lord and already in some way in a strong relationship with the Lord, he's not going to bother with me. Because I'm not doing anything for God anyway. He's going to go find Chuck. I know this is gross, y'all, but I relate this to that commercial. It's the exterminating commercial where the rogue shows up at the door, knocking on the door, and the girl's got her broom, and she opens the door like...
I know exactly what you're talking about, because I can't stand roaches. I saw one in the racquetball court the other day, and I'm like, should I let you live? No! He's a big one, too. Let's answer her questions. Why does the devil want to destroy us?
Because
we're
getting people into his kingdom. We're serving him.
Why does he care about that? Why?
Because he wants to be the God.
Oh, there you go.
He wants control.
The five whys. There you go. It goes all the way back to Ezekiel. It goes all the way back. It goes all the way back where Jesus, I saw him cast down like lightning from heaven to the earth because his pride. He wants God's glory. It's his pride, which we need to be watching for that too. His pride, his desire, and that's why he took a third of the angels with him. All right. Satan wants to be God or like him. Two. When God, here's another opinion that I heard that I thought was very interesting. When God cast out Satan and the third of the angels that he deceived, he comes back and he creates man in his own image. And here's the theory that I thought, and I kind of like this opinion. Satan was in charge or in control of the earth. And then when he fell, he lost that dominion and he gave it, God gave it to man.
He didn't like man.
And we don't like replacements coming in to take our job. So not only does he not like God, all right, but he also doesn't like us because we're the ones who are supposed to be running things down here. That was God's plan from the beginning in the garden, and it's going to happen again, and we will rule with him again. And then you got the whole idea, I'm just talking, you got the whole idea of the jilted girlfriend thing here, or whatever. I can't have what I want, and you're going to throw me out or whatever, and then they come and key your car. Something that you love. Guys love the cars or whatever. And then you're going to come and key my car because you got a broke relationship, because you cast me out, you did me wrong. All right. Well, guess who God loves? And the enemy just wants to key the car. So there's a whole lot of reasons. But we got to understand that the devil is not our friend. Do not be deceived. Step on him like a roach. Yes, Carolyn.
When I started really thinking through what I feel like God's preparing us for the next 2 days, and I started getting apprehensive, and I'm like, God, what do you want me to do? What, you know? And I'm a visual person, so he had to put it in terms of, you know, something I could see.
Right.
And it goes back into the Old Testament of how they have the temple and stuff, and that we're the temple.
Yep.
And the best way that I can prepare myself and my family for what's coming ahead, and it was very simple, is to not let the fire of my altars burn out.
Don't let the fires. Oh, you are
don't
getting.
Let the fires of my altars burn out.
All right.
Which is my spiritual. Don't let that burn out because God is light, and He is the light, and the darkness can't stand the light.
So Carolyn says, don't let the altar, the fires of my altar go out.
And that's a visual thing that I
can That's a visual thing. Let me give you another parable that I just am preparing for, because I thought, David, I thought if we get through this, we might get to this next parable. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. And 5 of them ran out of light. Mm-hmm. And we need to do an analysis on what that means, and I think you just hit it.
And he brought it back. And I don't know it. I don't know my addresses, but he brought me back. It's in Leviticus about the altar fires.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he put me. And that was simple. He kept it simple.
Yep.
I can't do a lot. And he gave it a visual. And it's just like every day if I concentrate on keeping my fires burning, that whether he comes at midnight or in the middle of the day, you know, that's what I need to concentrate on for me and my family.
Let me add that to the list. Which still is just steps 1 through 4.
Also, it says don't strange fire. Fire that was not from, you know, like don't try to go get another, if the fire does go out. I can't remember what they were doing. Something with the freeze.
So. Oh, it was Nadab and Abihu.
Yeah.
Oh, son, I can't smell the Holy Spirit. Again, step 1 through 4. If you don't come at it the right way, if you take it out of order, you'll be going to church with, oh, here's an application. Here's an application. Think about this. Not only are we the church and our temple, it's a tabernacle.
Thumbs out there.
But is the church not a tabernacle?
Yeah.
Yes.
If we don't protect the church, if the pastor doesn't protect the church, if the ministers in the church don't protect the church, is it possible that the devil can get in the church? Uh-oh, I said something.
Yep. Yeah.
And if the thief gets into the church, what will you have?
A mess.
Yeah. Is there anything called church mess still today?
The Methodist church.
And how did the mess get in?
Is that a mess?
Yeah. Somebody wasn't watching. Come on, Roger. Somebody wasn't watching the front door.
Heresy.
Yes,
man.
The deception. Yeah, it's the deception. He's still deceiving even those who are in the church. Got to protect the house. Got to be like Under Armour. We must protect this house. Not only must we protect this house that we're walking and living in, we got to protect this house we got to protect this class. We got to protect. Got to protect the house. Oh, look at that. We don't have to worry about him breaking in. We invite him in.
And that brings me back to Isaiah. And the judgment from Isaiah. Yep. The judgment will be from the head to the tail, not just the people, the leaders of the churches, but the people sitting in his feet that allowed it to happen.
That's why you cannot follow just any Messiah.
No.
You got to have the discernment. God had the Holy Spirit to discern.
Which is why steps 1-4 and us individually every day is so important, because it starts with each one of us individually, and then it goes out into all of that. And if we're not at step 4, we don't have discernment like we need to have.
Nope.
We're in the flesh.
Nope.
We're not.
We got to see it for what it is.
Yeah. We can be watching and not see it.
We got to see it for what it is. You got to see it for what it is. I'm from the north. When I came down here, it just still freaks me out today. And I saw one of the big giant cockroaches. And he flew. And up north we don't have. Well, up north we got just the German ones or whatever. Not that I know anything about that. Not that up north. We got the little small ones or whatever.
Even the SEC, you got the SEC.
Man, we got super roaches. Roach had an S on his chest. He flew, right? And I'm like, I started asking people about this. I'm like, hey, wait a minute now. What the heck is this? This is a cockroach. And I started asking people, oh, no. That's what we call down here a palmetto bug. I'm like, oh, palmetto bug? Oh, well, that's fine. And for a minute, I was okay with it. Because it's not a roach. It's a palmetto bug. Pretty little thing. Nice tan color about it or whatever. And I just had enough discernment that I just could not accept the deception that the palmetto bug is okay. He comes from outside. He don't hang around garbage. He eats off the tree and stuff like that or whatever. No. I saw him coming out the sewer. Bottom line is, I'm not deceived. And if I see a palmetto bug or a cockroach, I'm not deceived. He dies. He don't get in the house, and I don't rest until he dies.
I got dominion.
Amen. But for some reason, we have taken sin in this land and called it something else and said it's not sin, and we allow it to come into the house, and I'm telling you, it's still a cockroach. And I don't know how long I'm going to be a pastor, but this whole thing of I don't want to offend anybody, and I don't want to tell the truth about it. You know, I want everybody to like me. You know what? That's what persecution is all about. And I don't hate you. I love you. I want to warn you. I want to sound the alarm. But you ain't telling me that this and freaky stuff or whatever. You're not telling me that that's a palmetto bug. That's wrong.
It's called fruit. Judging the fruit. Love the sinner and judge the fruit of their life.
And I need to sound the alarm so that they can be saved and avoid the judgment. So they can stop being deceived. Yeah. All right.
Fruit is what the cockroach is after.
Fruit is what the cockroach is after. Well, I'm telling you. I saw that cockroach in there. You know what? It don't... Hey, Paul, it only took me 10 seconds to figure out what to do with that cockroach. I'm like, I sprayed him a little bit, and then, you know, with some of that sanitizer they're using on the weights or whatever, you know, I'm like, that's just going to irritate him. It ain't going to really kill him. And he turned around and started to walk out the door. And I'm like, let him just walk out the door. He's a big one, too. I said, just let him walk out the door. And he's walking out the door. I'm sitting here thinking, but you're still a cockroach. And if I let you out, then you're going to get in somebody's bag, going to get home or whatever. You're just going to violate. You're going to get on somebody's lunch. No, no. To heck with the cockroach goes to hell. Boom. And then I cleaned up the mess. We need, I don't know how cockroaches got into this story, but anyway. protect your house. Okay.
When we stomp out the devil, there's still going to be a mess to clean up.
Yeah, but it's easier to clean a dead mess than it is the mess that's still walking around, crawling around in your house.
All of your dishes.
As a matter of fact,
call Jimmy.
In fact, my wife used to tell me, why'd you leave that dead cockroach over there? Hey, that's an example to every other one that comes through here. there ain't no grace and mercy here. Just death and destruction. Yeah. And mosquitoes and wasps and all the rest of them, they're in the same category almost. All right, here we go. Verse 45. That's where Jimmy is, my buddy. 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? I had to figure out what that meat in due season means. It seems like that means you're providing for other servants in the household.
It says food at the proper time.
Yeah, we're feeding other folks at the proper time. That kind of threw me off. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing, being a good manager over the household. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Wow. So there's judgment if you don't obey, and there's, you know, you get what you deserve, I guess. But if we do this thing right, and we watch over those things that we talked about before, and we keep our light burning, we get promoted.
If there is no salt and light, the devil's not going to bother you.
Yeah. So, this is a matter of consistency to me. In my other notes, I said consistency. I want to be a consistent believer. I want to pick up my cross daily and practice consistency. I want to consistently be on watch. Because the devil's not my friend. And I want to give people in the house and around me in my life meat in due season. The word in due season. Rhema. All right.
Chuck,
yes.
In due season reminds me with my son who is not saved. I know God shuts my mouth sometimes, but in the process.
Come on, Zeb. Yes.
What God tells me.
Yes.
I don't beat him over the head.
Yes.
In due season.
Yes. You look for those divine opportunities. Yes. Zeb, I'm telling you, that is spot on.
Yeah.
That is spot on. And do I'm right, write that down. At the right time, give the word. This is meat. Oh wow, that Deb, that's good. Everybody got a crazy relative.
Somewhere.
Unfortunately, mine is in the vicinity.
Amen.
And you got to meet them where they are. And when they double down on stupid, that's when I get my popcorn. I'm like, it ain't the time. Because you ain't going to receive it. All right. Stop texting me, Don. Anyway. All right. Verse 48. We might actually finish this. Because there's not much here. But, and it, well, you know, it ain't my fault. It's God's fault. All right, here we go. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant. Again, we're watching for the love of others waxing cold. And to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint his... This is terrible. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we know what a hypocrite is. That's out there, you know, you can see them. But what he's saying here to me is, you can be minding your business and managing your home and be in the class of a hypocrite because you're not living in watchfulness as he calls us to do. Now, you got to put yourself in the story again today and figure out, I'm not smiting my... What does it mean today to smite your fellow servants? Do I even need to open up that door or what that means?
That's just being abusive and not being treating them like you should treat them.
Be kind. Galatians 6:1. Restore them in the heart and spirit of meekness. Deb, I love it. Yeah, I'm not going to beat them up with this, but in the spirit of meekness, I'm looking for those opportunities. To eat and drink with the drunken. Well, I don't think any of us go to the club anymore. So, doesn't apply to us as believers, certainly. What does eat and drink with the drunken? How can a believer...
Well, you can be drunk on anger. You can be drunk...
Boy, let me write that down.
You can be drunk on anxiety. You can be drunk on fear.
But the Bible says to be drunk on the Holy Spirit.
Kind of like Kanye West.
He's drunk.
Yeah. He claims to be a Christian, but yet he hates Jews. So how, you know, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
My granddad was like that. He blamed the Jews for killing Christ, right?
We all put him up there. You know, when you look at from the spiritual realm.
We're the one that killed Christ, yeah,
right?
Every one of us.
Yeah.
They's in the natural, not spiritual.
That's right. I can remember that.
What if they had to kill Christ? Where would we be today?
Yeah. Well, slavery's another example. Yeah. You know, people claim to be Christian, but yet, you know, the whole issue of slavery, not just in this country, but everywhere. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
Susan, I like that. This is one reason why it's difficult for me to get everything up on my website, because when you go through this stuff, I got all this old stuff from, like, you know, the 1990s and early 2000s or whatever. I want to slap it on my website. But when you go through and you look at this stuff, you see so much stuff that's fresh or whatever. I'm like, man, I got to get this in there. Susan, I didn't even think about this, but that's the Holy Ghost. I didn't even think to ask the question about drunken. And then when I asked it, you came up with something that's so powerful. Think about this. Were there Christians on January 6th?
Yes.
That stormed the Capitol?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How did they get so deceived that they rallied and joined that?
Anger, fear.
Falling wrong people, not falling for Christ.
So that drunkenness, they're with them and they don't know it. When you got a mob mentality that throws trash cans through store windows and tears up neighborhoods and things like that.
You bring it back down to home. Bring it back down to yourself, to your house. That's why because you can get and you can have your whole being in a panic attack.
Yes.
I can give you
along with everybody else that caused it. Oh, you know, here's one. I wound up talking about somebody the other day And it was fueled by and all of a sudden I'm there and
run with it.
Yeah, I'm like, man, run with it. It's gone like the wind. And I gotta watch myself that I don't let those things spin out of control where all of a sudden I'm like, I'm not watching for God.
And when I get drunk with something like that, that's not a fruit of the Spirit, it usually ends up, it bumps into Jimmy. Or, the foul when you're drunk, you're going to say things you shouldn't say, you're going to act ways you shouldn't act.
Yeah. Ooh!
Look.
I'm running into Jimmy.
Yes.
You're running into Jimmy.
Right, me.
You know what? I'm gonna. We're out of time, but I can analyze because now I'm thinking in the natural. When I did get drunk, how did I act?
Crazy.
I was crazy. I had a boldness that was going to get me in trouble. You know, I can catch a case real easy. In fact, a friend of mine, back in college in my day, used to moon everybody. Everybody got mooned, you know. So this guy, back in the day, I went to a white college. Black people don't moon people. I went to a white college. And so we're all drinking one Tuesday night. And we're 10 seats to the wind or whatever. And one of my friends, who very good college student, had very good grades or whatever, you know, he goes out there, hey, guys, look at that. Ah, he moved somebody, right? Well, he didn't see there's an off-duty cop in the parking lot watching all this. So now he's got to go downtown for indecent exposure. And I'm like, keep your pants on. Don't get drunk. You said stupid stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to do stupid stuff. I'm trying to get a reward. Anyway, all right. Let me see if we've got time to go through. Man, this is a good conversation today. You guys came up with some good points. All right. Let me see what my notes say. I like how God does this throughout the Bible. He'll give you a good example of the good homeowner, and then he'll give you the anti-example of the bad homeowner so you can tell where you go, where you fit. He gives you the Beatitudes, which tells you the good attitude to have. And then it gives you, Matthew 23, talking about the Pharisees and the bad attitude they got. So God, he gives you the good example of Christ getting through the wilderness. And then he gives you the bad example of the children of Israel who complained on their way through the wilderness.
And either one could be any of us on any given day.
And that's why I got to be born again every day. That's why I got to do the steps every day, because I can be in anyway. Yes, thank you. All right. So in my notes, I said the evil servant says in his heart or his mind, Christ ain't come today, so I can take a break from my watch and do the following. I can abuse and mistreat other servants. I can party with other drunk folk. But I didn't go that far. So Susan, I might have to update this. Basically, it's mismanagement of your life. And I just love that observation. So here's some application. I think I need... I don't know if I got time to do this. This will finish it, though. Yeah, this will finish it. All right, let me summarize with this. In my professional career as a consultant, we do things called risk management. And in risk management, the methodology is you want to assess the risk. And so the first thing you want to do is you want to identify the risk. And then you want to figure out the probability that the risk might occur. And then you want to understand the impact of the risk. And then you give it an overall score. And then you come up with a risk response that says, I want to mitigate this risk, I want to avoid this risk, or I'm okay accepting this risk. Let me give you a for instance. There's a high probability that I might lose my luggage or it might be delayed if I go on an airplane flight. Medium probability. But My whole life ain't entangled in that piece of luggage or whatever, because whatever's important, I'm going to carry on with me or whatever. So the impact of losing the luggage is low. Am I going to not fly because of the risk of losing my luggage?
No.
Probably not. I'll accept that risk. Now, the risk of a plane crashing is very low. Probability is low that the plane's going to crash. But the impact of the crash is considerable. I'm still going to fly, but if the probability of a crash increases, I ain't taking that risk. So I was talking to my daughter one day, and I was saying, you need health insurance. And she goes, I don't have a job right now. I don't think I need it right now. I'm like, I will help you get health insurance, because old people know that you need health insurance, and young people, for some reason, think they're a piece of iron. So I'm like, oh, Daddy, you're on my case. I'm like, I get it. Instead of getting on your case, let me just do a risk assessment. What is the risk of you needing health insurance? She goes, I think the probability is low. Even though the impact might be a little high, it probably ain't going to happen. I'm like, okay. Daddy ain't going to bug you no more. You went through the risk assessment, you accept the risk. Go ahead. Within a month, she got a fungus on her lips.
Thank God, just trying to get
hurt. Wound up having to go to, you know, Prime Med or whatever. Ooh. And get, yeah. And I'm just sitting there going,
who's going to pay for this?
Mm-hmm. And the next month, she got health insurance. Before she got her job, she got health insurance. So as I'm looking at this, let's do a risk assessment. What is the probability that you might be caught unawares when Christ comes? What's the possibility that you might get surprised at his coming? We went through 4 weeks of probability high. What's the impact of him coming and you not being prepared? Huge. Overall risk score, high. Question, is it worth the risk?
Amen.
No. There ain't nothing in this world that is worth the risk of me not being prepared. All right. That's the lesson. I'm done. I got to go. Spent too much time with you people. Davey, all we got left to do is just read one scripture and we're done. So we have finished it. I know. And so if you want to prepare for the next lesson for next week, it is going to be Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, the parable of the 10 bridegrooms. Now, parable of the 10 verses. Yeah.